Welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach on the other side of the garage. We're in the garage now. And
okay, whatever you say, bro.
Sorry, I don't know why I say garage, but you know, this is one of my favorite segments. It's the Bottom Line with Thomas Gwines, and here's Thomas.
Ladies and gentlemen, just want to say what's up to all those out there in radio land. J-Mo, we went out there and we reasserted ourselves. We reasserted the dominance that is Michigan and Michigan State. We are 2-0 in the recent years and last 2 years. We've won the rubber match as both schools respectively the last four games had went 2-2 while on the road. So we finally came up and we defended the big house in a big fashion. 44-10. Jump into some stats right here. U of M, we gave up 3 sacks. We got 4 sacks. Obviously, as an offensive lineman, I just kind of feel like that's definitely way too much. One, I can kind of deal with, but giving up 3 is again, that to me is problematic. Rushing yards, Jamon. Did you look at the rushing yards?
I did.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, Michigan State is strong against the run, and they didn't want us to run, so we threw the ball.
So we got 83 yards. We had less than 100 yards rushing, but we did hold Sparty to 54 yards. So that comes out to 2.4 yards on average for 34 carries in comparison to Sparty's piddly 1.8 yards on 30 carries. 21-yard run was done by my man Young Jackson, and the longest Sparty had was a 10-yard run by Barnett. So to your point, where we made up the difference was 384 yards in receiving in comparison to 166 yards, with young Mr. Bell coming up with a 42-yard reception for the long in comparison to only 29 yards for Mr. White. Fumbles, we had 2 fumbles, lost 1, and was only able to get for Sparty, one fumble from them. I'm sorry, Sparty only fumbled the ball once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first touchdown, slow start. Cody White, number 7, great play, carries 2 Wolverines approximately 7 yards to the 1 yard line as he stretches out, and they called him down before the ball broke the plane. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And even unexcusable, where a guy is actually carrying 2 of our defensive backs, not 5 yards, but I'm saying 6-7 yards. So, obviously, you know, everybody's gets a little tight, gets a little apprehensive upon seeing that level. Sparty came out with a little bit of enthusiasm. And even to the point of, we didn't score a touchdown until the beginning of the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that. I went back and watched Indiana play. Indiana's going to bring stunts up front, and they're going to bring some delayed blitzes, and they're going to bring, you know, a lot of disguises in their defensive scheme. Two of their defensive ends definitely are bringing the funk this year, at least against Penn State. Their offensive line, the Hoosiers' offensive line, is a big physical offensive line. I was impressed with how they were moving the Nittany Lions off the ball, especially in short yardage. So this Bloomington game coming up next week is not going to be any cakewalking. As I came in earlier and I was listening to a lot of your callers, a lot of people were talking about how this is basically the trap game. I felt like last week playing against Sparty was a trap game based off of their woes and their dismal season, and people just expecting us to walk over them. And, you know, fortunately for us, that did come to fruition. But coming into the Indiana game, which has historically been a very tough game for the Wolverines, either in Bloomington or here in the Big House, we've always got to strap it up and play the Hoosiers. As Matt alluded to earlier, if they beat us, they are bowl eligible and finish almost with a top 25 finish. You know, when's the last time that has happened? So a lot of things here on the line. And to your earlier caller's point, I'm completely fine with just going into Bloomington and just getting a win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for any huge heroics or anything like that. All I want to do is get in, get the W, everybody stay healthy, and then get ready for the game coming up in a couple of weeks. So these are the things which I'm looking for. Overall, offensive line, I'd give us a B minus. And again, I'm only going B minus because of the fact that I don't think we ran the ball especially well. Wasn't doing a lot of big things as far as opening up holes, changing the line of scrimmage, and the three sacks. Matter of fact, I'm going to take that down to a C plus. Other than that, man, you know, a lot of our receivers definitely stepped up, was making some big catches. I was intrigued with the whole Wildcat formation down there. In,
I thought that was cool.
I did. Was cool. I like that. That's going to be definitely one of those things where, you know, it's a nice wrinkle, but something I don't want to necessarily see us go to the well too many times on. Again, got down there in the red zone, and we went back to it. And I want to say either we had no gain or a tackle for loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, it's good to have that in the repertoire to make that defense think. So, with all that being said, the other caveat in which I was looking at with the offense is I'm looking at Shea's passes.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like we left a lot of hidden yardage out there on the field just because Shea was getting the passes off, but the receivers were making great catches. If Shea would just lead the receivers just a little bit, even on Bell's big run and running catch, if he doesn't throw the ball and causes Bell to have to kind of, you know, float back over to the sideline, then I think that definitely should have been six instead of just a big run. Eubanks's catch, I want to say that was the second touchdown of the game. Wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, luckily for us, Eubanks is as athletic as he is and was able to do the pirouette, basically hit a 180, catch the ball, and come down. Instead of all Shea really had to do was just throw it over the top and lead him to the back end of the corner, would have been a much easier catch. Defense overall, I think our defense played super well. And we had, other than, you know, like I said, that first play that I alluded to, mm-hmm. I want to say the defense got after it. I loved Hutchinson's enthusiasm throughout the game. The referees weren't really doing us a bunch of favors. I get that as far as wanting to keep the chippiness down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is. It's one of those games where, you know, you just got to let the boys play.
You ready to take some phone calls?
In 1 second. I got to give a shout out to my big fellows up front, though. 6 minutes and 37 seconds into the second quarter, we had some really good blocking up front. Bredesen on a great combo block with Runyon taking that defensive lineman up to the second level and just basically putting him in the linebacker's lap, with Bredesen coming off on the linebacker to get an actual pancake. Haven't seen that a lot. That was on one of Zach's bigger runs.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to give a shout out to the big boys up front. Also, number 68 did a really good job when Caesar went down. We didn't have any fumble snaps. He was getting his blocks. He was playing physical. So for that kid to come in with that sudden change aspect, if you will, and the moment wasn't too big for him, so I just want to give him a shout out as well for doing the job at the time in which he was able to do it. So nicely played on that young man's part. Now let's take some calls.
734-998-1050. Eric, hold on. Hey, Jake. No, okay. You don't want me to go to Jake. Hey, Jake, how you doing?
I am pumped out. What a great time to be a Michigan Wolverine and things. A big congratulations to the Michigan football team for winning the other day and things. And I just want to, I'm going to make a bold prediction. We got to take it one game, one play, one moment in time. We got to focus on Indiana first. But I truly believe if we keep playing like we are, I'm going to go out on a bold prediction. I think we're going to beat Ohio and stuff. I'll hang up and listen. Go blue. Win or lose, I'll hang up and listen. Go blue.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate that, Jake.
734-998-1050. Now, Eric, it's your turn. I'm sorry.
Big E, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
It's your world.
Hey, you know, my granddaddy used to have a saying when I was a little boy, and I used to get in trouble. He used to tell me, boy, I beat you till you beg me to kill you. And that's what I was hoping Michigan did to Michigan State.
And that's why we have CPS.
You can't say that nowadays.
Hey, I'm not mad at it, but yeah, that's why we have CPS. Go granddad.
My granddad is old school, man. He was from Fargo, Arkansas, so... You know, back in the day, boy, you got out of line with them. They call them straightening on you.
Hey. I'm in danger.
Hey, Eric, look, I remember the days of go out there and get a switch.
Oh yeah, see, we from that same era.
Exactly. My people from Crystal Springs, Mississippi.
There you go. There you go. But you know, man, I'm gonna tell you, I like everything I saw from the game. I just still think at this point in Shea's career, I would like to see him lead the receivers with his passes. Ball placement is everything when it comes to your pass game. It's the difference between getting a first down and a touchdown, or a 5-yard gain and a 10-yard gain. You throw that receiver where he can catch it and run it, run the ball after he catch it without having to break stride or slow down or none of that crap, and it help him out a lot. And I don't think Michigan's going to look past Indiana, because in order for you to look by somebody, you have to feel like you ain't going to have no problem with that team. And I don't think Michigan's there yet with Indiana, because every time they've been playing Indiana, I think they've been happy to get the W. So I don't think they're going to look past them getting ready for Ohio State. And so, but I do think we'll get the W, but I don't think they'll look past them, because I think they respect Indiana and realize that, hey, this ain't something. We still got to go in here and play our best, because we don't want to, you know, let Indiana, we don't want to go in here and take it easy and think that we just going to, you know, not come out here the way we need to come out here. We're going to show up with the winged helmet and come out with a W because of that. So, hey, man, y'all have a good, man. Go Blue. Hey, I'll be up for the OSU game, man. So I'll see you guys then.
All right, well, safe travels on the road. And I completely concur with your insight on that, Big E. Again, Indiana has always proven to be a tough game. And I think Indiana plays with a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, like I said, watching that Penn State game, Indiana played really physical football. It was sometimes they got out of position. Penn State was able to capitalize on some things. Indiana was able to capitalize on some of Penn State's miscues. But I think Penn State probably just had a few more horses in the stable than the Hoosiers did. But overall, their level of execution and ferocity in which they came out and approached that game, especially being on the road in Happy Valley, I was definitely impressed with the Hoosiers. And I'm expecting it to be a very physical, hard-fought game against the Hoosiers coming up in Bloomington.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out. Indiana they've been knocking at the door for 3 years.
Yep.
Knocking on that door. Well, for 4 years, they've been knocking on that door. Mm-hmm. For 4 years. The two up in Bloomington, they've gone to overtime.
Right.
So, I mean, and
I can go back to even when I played. That was never just a give-me game. You know, Indiana has always kind of played with a chip on their shoulder. You know, Indiana's probably the Sparty of the state of Indiana when it comes to football.
Mm-hmm.
In comparisons to Purdue. And so with that being said, every time they come up against one of those perceived top tier institutions, they always feel like they got something to prove. We're not just a basketball school. We can play football here as well. And to your point, they've been really making some positive strides in recruiting and just their level of play on Saturday. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we come out. And I think what's really important is we've got to get after these guys early. We cannot come out here and do what we did this past Saturday. Again, this upcoming Saturday and playing Sparty, it's all going to be super imperative that we get off to a fast start. Don't want to let these, especially Indiana, I don't want to let these guys stick around, especially at home. It definitely could be a trap game for us.
Well, this quarterback, he's known Michigan for three years. I mean, he grew up on Michigan.
Right. I'm more concerned with and what I'm looking forward to seeing, just, you know, watching what I watched in the Penn State game, our offensive line's ability to pick up this level of movement that the Hoosiers bring defensively up front. Like I said before, you're going to get a lot of twists, some delayed stunts, some, you know, they're going to disguise their schemes, and you're going to have some great communication. But with the communication, is going to, I go back to it since we were talking about this on this show,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be technique. You know, you're set, how you set up initially on that particular pass rush, if you got to come back inside and help and switch things off and keeping your shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, all of these things with a team that has this much movement up front is going to be super imperative for us to bring to the table in order for us, in order for Shea to feel comfortable. Because I think the other caveat too is, if this pressure gets to Shea and he starts getting a little, you know, shaken or shell-shocked, if you will, that's when the mistakes come. That's when the, you're going to have the fumbles and or he's going to start throwing some ill-advised passes for some INTs.
Oh, no, without a doubt. We've seen it before. That's why they move him around in the pocket now. They swing him out there, bootleg him, get him out there, and let the receivers be themselves.
Right. And so the other caveat to that is because, you know, Indiana, I think Indiana kind of runs a bootleg Michigan defense as far as them wanting to bring pressure. So what's also going to be interesting to see is going to be our tight ends' availability to, you know, run those seam routes, get in the middle of that defense, find that open space, and for Shea to put the ball on them to, you know, like Eric said, lead the guys, put the guys in a position where they can catch the ball and run with the ball. It's great that you make the athletic catch, but again, the amount of hitting yardage that was left on the field this past Saturday, I think, you know, we definitely probably could have put up 50 points.
Look, everybody says they want to put 50 points up. I just wanted to win.
I'm clear. Same team. I'm just happy with the W, but I say this coming into – Once we started playing those upper tier teams, I can't leave those points. I can't leave those hidden yardage, that level of hidden yardage left on the field, because I personally still don't feel like we have the horses to run in a straight track meet with some of these other teams. So when we have our opportunities, we need to take the most of it and get the most bang for our buck. So, you know, instead of me getting, it's great, we got a 15-yard game, but I'm like, bro, if you just put it on the, put the ball on a receiver, we got six. Our receivers are doing a fabulous job. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of our receiving core right now. Even on some of the big runs, I was loving just seeing those guys getting out there and blocking.
Well, that's the big step up, I think, because when you throw those bubble screens,
right,
if your receivers aren't blocking, you Donovan Peoples-Jones ain't making those runs.
Exactly.
Tariq Black, Ronnie Bell aren't running those big runs.
Right.
But because those receivers are out there blocking, and it was prevalent.
Exactly.
I could see it. I'm like, oh, they got their blocks.
Exactly. I mean, you either, you know, the hands were inside and they were running guys, or they were getting the cut blocks, whatever the case may have been. You know, Walter Smith would have been proud.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, he would have been proud.
I said it. Good old Walt.
Just remember, you're not a wide receiver. You're wide blockers.
Exactly.
If you're not getting the ball, you're wide blockers.
That's all it is, you know. But that's the team concept. And that's, you know, the great thing about it is when you're unselfish enough to want to set your teammate up to be successful. And, you know, I alluded to it last week. It's that family feel. We preach it ad nauseum, the team, which is great. But when you start becoming a family – and you get excited about seeing your boys being successful, that's when great things start to happen.
No, you're right. I feel the same way. I was impressed with the wide receivers blocking. That's the one thing that stood out for me, was that the way they were blocking. The tight ends blocking too. Yeah. They were getting some blocking.
The tight ends was getting out there. I mean, I still think they need to get in the weight room a little bit. It was a couple of times I saw I can't think of the kid's name, but I want to say it was number 18. We were down in the north end of the end zone, and we were running a lead play coming off the left side, and he comes down and crashes down, and he makes contact. Next thing I know, he's getting bent back, and it's a 2-yard loss.
Yeah.
You know, so technique-wise, because, again, I still kind of feel like our tight ends are just slow receivers and not necessarily have that true – dual mode of being a tight end, but they're getting better.
Okay. I mean, that's a good thing.
But, you know, they'll catch the ball.
Oh, they'll catch it in a heartbeat.
They'll go down the seam.
They'll do a quarter route.
Exactly.
They look like receivers out there.
They'll catch the ball. Now, when it comes out here to this red zone, it could get a little sketchy, but, you know, we're trying.
You're an offensive lineman.
That I am.
Your quarterback gets hit late, like Shea got hit late.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm going, first of all, to make sure that Shea is okay, especially if that defensive lineman is not immediately still in contact with the quarterback.
Right.
At that particular point in time, because I try to be smarter, and I say this as a 45-year-old man and compared to a 20-year-old kid, I look at his number, and I put that number in the Rolodex.
Mm-hmm.
And when the whistle's blown, depending on the play call, I'm definitely going to go look him up.
Okay. And they did do what they were supposed to do. They got after him. Yeah. So I'm amazed at he was – Shea had thrown that ball.
It was flagrant.
Right.
You know, but
– And the referee did throw the flag. The kid got thrown out the game. But I'm just saying, how does that – what
– Like I said, I –
And don't give me this, the Michigan State game. I don't want to hear that.
It's not that at all. I look at it, again, from the more rational side of things. You want to protect your quarterback. We take that personally. But at the same point in time, you try to keep your emotions in check and understand that if I go do something stupid, am I helping the team?
Right.
Do I get kicked out of the game? You know, so – All that being said, you just do it in between the whistle. And, you know, next time you go off to the sideline, hey, coach, if when he lines up over here, please run this play so mm-hmm. I can put the paws on him.
Okay. It just bothers me when I see stuff like that. I just used to take people's knees out. But in those days, that was a clean block. When you used to cut block people.
Yeah, I mean, you can still cut block. I mean, I get it. It's a different day and age. You can still be physical.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's just subtle nuances that you just have to change up. But, again, I go back to the block Bredesen had. When him and Runyon had that double team,
mm-hmm.
I've been preaching it all year. You got to block that down lineman first. And the easiest way to get to the second level, take that down lineman up to the second level. Mm-hmm. Drop him off. And then take the proper angle, put the paws on the linebacker, run your feet, and plant him somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look up, hopefully you see your running back running past your face, and we're going for six.
Right. Okay, I got you. But it's just you think about it, and, you know, that game, I don't know, the referee threw a lot. They threw a lot of flags.
They threw a lot of sketchy flags, you know. I'm all for trying to keep the game clean, but in a game like that, I'm like, you know what, let's be physical. Let's do it in between the whistles. You know, when he flexed.
That was Nico Collins.
Yeah, when he hit him with the double bicep pose, trying to show off the guns.
It was what?
That was Tariq.
That was Tariq Black? I'm sorry. Okay.
So when Black got up and hit the flex, he didn't turn towards their bench
He was looking down the field.
He was looking down the field and was, I want to say, he was closer to our sidelines. So at the end of the day, there was nothing directed towards Sparty other than I just made a great play. I threw the double bicep pose up. My boys came around me. Next thing you know, you see a flag. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, I was going to say, the only one I think that was worse than that was, you look at, Hill. When he got that interception, he kind of dogged Sparty boy to the sideline. He knew he wasn't going to advance. He just wanted to dog him. He comes up, gives him the one flex, like right as he's on the ground real quick.
And did they throw a flag on that one?
No, no flag on that one. They gave the double,
I think it's the referee then. I think it depends.
Because they were both on Michigan's side of the
field.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So it was referee discretion. It was even to the point where I want to say McCune had got a big catch. Again, would have been bigger if it was put on the money. And when he gets up,
Ronnie Bell slaps his head.
Exactly. And that's kudos to Ronnie Bell, understanding the temperature of the game, if you will, as far as how the referees are calling things. So, yeah, you want to get up and celebrate. And I get it. If you made a great play, there is the selfish part of you that wants to get out there like, hey, look at me. Hey, Ma, you know, I did it. But at the same point in time, it's a team game. Kudos.
Time is show pass, because you know what? We didn't do any of that first down stuff.
No, I mean, we didn't do it either because of the fact you knew when you got to the sideline, that was your ass.
Right, right. No, you're right. So then we went, but when we got in the end zone, both said we could celebrate. Celebrate with your teammate.
As a team.
Right.
You know, it was the one thing I look at now is when these running backs or whoever score, soon as they score, they run to the back of the end zone like they're running to the student section. I wish you're turning around and you're running back to the guys that made it plausible or capable for you to score.
No, that makes sense.
These are the things that I want to see. This is a way in which you was raised here, mm-hmm. I was raised here. When we score, it's a team thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all getting a sticker.
Right, exactly.
That's what I was thinking. You know, we all getting the sticker.
Man, look, I can't tell you how much anticipation you had wondering, was I going to get a gold football?
Right.
When you came down to the building and you went to go get your helmet.
And Big Johnny put one on your helmet.
Yeah. You're looking for how, you know, if your stickers are stacking up. And, dude, it would be funny. We would be in meetings like, Coach, hey, that's a knockdown block. That's right. A cut or whatever. Hey, I deserve a sticker for that. You know,
but that's great. I mean, look, we can talk about this all day. I mean, I feel good about this. But you know what? We still got a game next week in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yep.
3:30 kick. And Thomas, we appreciate you coming in. You know, next week, and I ain't calling it state week, you know what week that is. That's the game week.
That's the game week. But I just want to say this. We've had almost two classes come through here, and they can't say that they beat that team from down south. Wow. Hopefully the buck stops here.
That's got to change.
That's got to change. It's unacceptable.
That's going to do it for the show today. You've been listening to the M Zone on WTKA AM 1050.
Ticket.